Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
On a phone line is, where's his name? Kevin Epstein. He is the head of threat operations at Proofpoint. I want to talk a little bit about what happened with this malware, which, did you see it? It's described as ransomware. Kevin, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Pleasure. I'm well, thanks. But it's been a busy few days.
I guess you didn't see this one coming either. I mean, these things, or are there threats in advance for something like this?
The criminals don't tend to warn you too much in advance, a few exceptions to that. But we've seen new variants of ransomware every 2 to 3 days. That said, this one was significantly more proliferating than most of them.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, I get it. But I mean, really, so ransomware goes out all of the time. People are doing this all the time, huh?
Your computers get kidnapped. Well, someone's computer gets kidnapped every day.
Huh. And describe ransomware. How does that work?
So the when an attacker gets the ransomware onto your system, the first time you'll know it is when, instead of seeing your normal desktop, you'll just see a large screen saying, your computer's been locked, and providing instructions on how to pay the ransom. Effectively, what they've done is kidnap your files by encrypting every file on your computer. So your computer still functions. It's just everything you had is locked up in a way that you won't ever get back unless you pay this ransom.
So I could still open up my browser and surf the internet?
Depending upon how thoroughly they've locked your computer, most of them do leave the browser open because that's one of the ways they encourage you to pay the ransoms, by sending them Bitcoin to certain web addresses.
But all your files, all your photos, all your everything that's stored on that computer is now hijacked. If it's been saved to another source, the cloud or another hard drive, if it's been backed up some way, then can you just throw the computer away and at least have everything back?
If you backed it up and then that backup was not attached to your laptop at the time that you were infected with ransomware, then absolutely. That the frequent offline backups are one of the best sources of protection. Unfortunately, many people leave their backup drive connected, at which point the ransomware may encrypt not only your physical local hard drive, but also any connected drives.
I have a Mac, and everything is automatically saved to the cloud. I wonder if I'm safe or vulnerable.
Cross your fingers, assuming the backup works in the standard Mac cloud backup way, you should be in very good shape. That said, if I were you, I might perform a restore and check that.
Yeah, like I know how to do that. So then somebody gets this message on the screen, and it says, okay, if you want it back, you have to pay. I read $200-$300 for individuals, thousands and thousands for hospitals. Does that sound about right?
It sounds about right. It typically runs a couple hundred dollars per laptop, which, if you own a lot of laptops, ends up being quite a few thousand dollars.
And then you pay in Bitcoin? Is that the idea?
Absolutely. And for those of folks not familiar with Bitcoin, it's a so-called cyber currency. Standard currencies like U.S. dollars can be entered into payment sites, converted to this cyber currency, which is then deliverable anywhere in the world and far less traceable or restricted.
So I would have to get a Bitcoin account, transfer money. I don't know exactly what I'm saying here, but I'd find some way to monetize these Bitcoin, and then I would send those Bitcoin to some person out there, huh?
Exactly. And the good news or bad news is that the ransomware providers usually provide very detailed, fairly straightforward to follow instructions in the ransomware.
And then
they have a very good customer service model.
And do they then unencrypt? Does your computer work afterwards?
So traditionally, with low amounts of ransomware, the kidnappers, if you will, are actually fairly reasonable about restoring your computer because they wanted an ongoing business model. If people
right.
learned that you paid the ransom and they didn't give you the key, well, that wouldn't last long. Unfortunately, this latest outbreak appears to have taken the attackers by surprise in terms of the number of infected computers, and so they appear to be unable to keep up with the demand for decryption keys. The rumors we're hearing are that folks are paying and they receive a message that says something about, you know, please wait a week or two.
All of our operators are standing by. Well, so people pay. They actually do then. They go through this rigmarole and send a few $100 off. God, that's got to hurt.
It depends what your photos and lifetime memories are worth. It's not encouraged to pay the attackers. Clearly, it incensed the wrong behavior. But again, it's a personal choice. And if your system's not backed up and you have your, you know, wedding photos or child's photos or personal important records you couldn't replicate, it may not be too high a price.
I read that this operation may not have been so sophisticated since, or at least the person that did it, since it was accidentally stopped. It was just somebody registering a domain name that was in part of the encryption. So maybe these guys aren't so good at it, but I'm pretty impressed. Just talk to me about who this person might have been.
So there is rampant speculation that this ransomware was accidentally released early, if you will. There were a number of aspects to it, aspects of the code, the speed with which it spread, the obvious lack of preparation of the attackers for the volume of decryption requests they had. But the code itself was very sophisticated in other ways. They were using a leaked National Security Agency exploit, and it was very fortunate that our researchers here at Proofpoint found early samples and collaborated with another researcher to find that kill switch. Without that, we would still all be dealing with this at very high volume, likely today.
And the kill switch was, in fact, registering the domain name, right?
Yeah, there was a piece of the code that when the malware infected a computer, before proceeding to trigger the ransomware and spread itself everywhere else, it reached out and said, "Can I see this website?" And if the answer was no, it proceeded with its attack. Simply registering that website and making that website present so that the malware saw it effectively killed the malware, stopped it.
But how did you know which domain name to register?
Our researchers got a sample of early malware and reverse engineered it, decompiled it, and found this call out to the non-existent domain, and speculated again. When one is taking apart code, it's not always clear what it's trying to do. So they looked at it carefully and said, "Gosh, this looks like it doesn't do anything if it breaches that domain, and the domain is not there. Well, let's put it up and see what happens."
And that stopped. And that stopped the virus in its tracks, huh?
And that stopped the spread for now. The challenge being, you know, just like the flu getting out there. Once the flu is out there, there are all kinds of versions of the flu, if you will. And this, unfortunately, is something that now that it's out there, we've already seen evidence of people tinkering with it to eliminate the kill switch, make it more effective, conceal it better, etc.
But everybody who gets this virus, your computer is then going to go say, "Hey, is this domain name registered?" And the answer was, no, it's not registered, and therefore it steals all your stuff or locks it up. But now that the domain name has been registered, then it doesn't harm you, as I understand it. What was the domain name then? What was the word that they had to register?
I can't possibly pronounce this. It's a 26-character random... it's almost like Sesame Street, where you try and pronounce the alphabet.
26 letters, huh?
A very long, maybe more than that. It's a very random alphanumeric string.
Really, just a bunch of random stuff. So it wasn't like something clever, like wannacryevenmore.com or something, huh?
Yeah, apparently our attackers had no sense of humor.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, or desire for fame, because then that would have been maybe the thing that they would best be known for. Well, actually, we know it is WannaCry. Why was this called WannaCry?
One can only speculate. CRY in the security world is often short for crypt or encryption, and often you see things like crypto locker, crypto wall. So this may have been intended to be WannaCrypt, WannaEncrypt. That said, speaking for security defenders and researchers everywhere by the end of Friday until we'd found that kill switch, I would certainly empathize with the name WannaCry.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense, too. I mean, you want to cry? You're going to be crying if you don't pay the ransom. And so while this one has it shut down or affected one in five hospitals in Great Britain, 70, 80, 90 countries, depending on what you read, millions of people across the world. But it didn't seem to hit the United States so much as it did Europe, right?
It definitely seemed to be spreading sort of across the globe, literally based on the speed of the speed of the internet, yeah. The speed with which computers were turned on and came online. And since it started sort of late night, early morning Friday for the U.S., the U.S. was fortunate in that it was later in the infection stage, but very, very, very rapid spread through Friday until that kill switch was found.
One last thing, Kevin Epstein, he's the head of threat operations at Proofpoint. Were people just by having their computers on getting infected, or did you have to click on an attachment?
One of the nastier pieces of this piece of ransomware was that it self-proliferated. It's what's called a network worm, mainly, meaning that if your laptop was on and running an unpatched version of a Microsoft operating system, the ransomware could insert itself onto your system, send itself to other systems your system could see, and then trigger the ransomware, locking you up and asking for money.
Okay, but a lot of times, you know, people, they say, well, why did you click on that thing? You don't know that email, and that's an odd-looking attachment, so don't do that. And, you know, sometimes you go, that was pretty stupid for you to do, but that's not the scenario here, correct?
My favorite advice to tell people is don't click, and in this case, it didn't matter. All you had to be was online and unpatched, which is my second favorite piece of advice is please always make sure that your systems are up to date. When the little update window pops up on your laptop, I don't care if it's Apple or PC or what have you, say yes. After being sure that it's a real pop-up window, not something
spawned
by an attacker.
Yeah, really. But unpatched. So you're saying just keep your system, your operating system updated?
It was, in this case, it was that simple. So computers that had been updated with the appropriate patches were completely immune to this. Computers that were not updated were wide open, effectively.
Okay. Nice to talk to you, Kevin. Anything we can do for you? I guess you're in the business. If folks want to know more about how to protect themselves, they should reach out to Proofpoint.
Absolutely. Take a look at proofpoint.com. If you're an individual user, we just have a section marked Threat Insight, which hopefully provides some useful information. And if you're a corporation, of course, we're in the business and would be happy to hopefully assist or refer you to others.
Kevin Epstein, head of threat operations. It sounds positively military at proofpoint.com. Nice to talk to you, Kevin. I sure appreciate your help today.
A pleasure as well. And again, best with the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. You want to get on that conversation? Are you worried about the Cubs, Kevin?
You know, I never worry about the Cubs.
Well, yeah.
Growing up with the Sox, you know, who can pull defeat from the jaws of victory. It's nice to see a team that works the other way around.
Yeah. Well, so you're in California, right?
And so now I'm with the Giants, but I have to say it's not the same spirit. Back East has a different spirit to it.
Back East meaning here in Illinois. Yeah. Okay. Nice to talk to you, Kevin. We will absolutely reach out to you again. Thanks for helping us out.
My pleasure.